Coming up next on the Canadian Tech Podcast, John Jamieson and I talk the iPhone 7 launch, AdBlock's ad network already off to a rough start, and a new Google phone coming soon. All this and much more coming up next on the Canadian Tech Podcast.
Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 87 for Monday, September the 19th, 2016, sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. My name is Stuart Clark.
I'm Jamieson Roberts.
Well, Jamieson, Derek, from what I see, he's having a grand old time in the homeland of Portugal. He's even bought
some fancy shoes.
Blue suede shoes. I saw those as well. We'll have to wind him up about that. But in the meantime, not only do we have you filling in as a guest host, but we have a very old friend of the show joining in, and that is Mr. John Pylon. John, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. So, yeah, it's been a few years since you've been on the show.
I think we figured out it was about four.
About 4 years. Okay,
I think it's been
good.
About 4 years.
Yes, you've been a... You've,
sounds about right.
You know, you've been a busy guy.
A little bit.
Now, I think you were already married the last time you were on the show. So you,
yes, I was already married, but I
already
don't
married.
Think I'd started work.
Don't think... I think you did. You'd already started at Big Viking, I think.
Yeah, I might have been just around there.
Barely. Just a newbie. Just a new
it would have been right around there, yeah.
You're doing all sorts of projects, and I know now you have a really big project recently that
yes.
has happened. So go ahead and tell us.
Yeah, so in February, my first son, Ian, was born, and he's doing absolutely awesome.
Okay,
I'm watching him
Does Allison
right
know,
now.
Allison know you said first son?
Well, because there are probably going to be more.
Okay, so. Just make sure you check that with her.
Oh, no, trust me, there's been many a conversation about that.
Okay, I'm just lying.
Yeah, no, but he's currently sleeping, watching him on our little tablet that we have here.
Awesome.
I decided not to buy a baby monitor. Instead, we set up a webcam and bought one of the really cheap Android tablets because it cost about half as much.
Classic
as a baby
hack.
Monitor.
Nice.
So.
There you go.
See, we went the other... We were gifted a Withings home, and unfortunately,
nice.
It seems to have failed us. Hardware seems to have crapped out. So, I've got about a 20 email support chain with them.
Oh,
so, yeah.
I can highly recommend it's just a cheap D-Link night day camera. I think it maxes out at like 480p or something like that, and then a cheap $100 Asus tablet works great.
Fair enough.
I haven't had any issues with
hack.
It.
Classic hack. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So no, I'm really pleased. I enjoy following you both your guys' tweets about fatherhood and both of your lovely and intelligent wives, as they do. and again, I say to both of them, what were they either of them thinking? But no, I'm just kidding. My wife says the same thing to me. So, but yeah, no. So no, I'm glad you're both enjoying the trials of fatherhood. And as I've said to many new fathers, it does get better. Of course, I can say that. I'm not a father, but, you know.
The problem with that, though, is we got really lucky, and Ian is, like, kind of an easy baby. So we're, like, kind of terrified to have
Wait
another one
because
we're like,
yeah.
Well, this one wasn't so bad. The next one's going to be a nightmare.
You may as well name him Chucky right
See,
now.
Yeah.
See, I've had the exact opposite experience. Number one has been quite difficult.
Yes.
So. It's kind of a case of it can't get much worse.
Yeah.
And how does that line fly with Adia? Yeah.
We're not gonna go there.
No. Like I said, much respect for Nadia and Allison, and also thank them for allowing you two to come out and play tonight. So, okay, we're gonna get right into it. Lots of stories this week. Everyone assumes we're gonna lead with an Apple story, but just to be a pain in the ass, we're not gonna lead with an Apple story. We're gonna lead with VMedia. IPTV service is coming to Roku devices in Canada. So this is basically VMedia already had an IPTV platform, but you needed a box for it. But they say now they're going to have an app, and it's going to give you CBC, CTV, Global, NBC, and CBS. Now, you know, as the bottom of the article says, it'd be really nice if they, it's a good move, but why not have an app for similar language across platforms like Apple TV, Xbox One, PlayStation 4? Because I know my wife's been kind of grumbling because she used to get some of her regular TV shows, shall we say, via certain websites that have been shut down. Can I say that? I guess I can say that. But now, now of course, she can't get that. So she's there's been grumblings about getting cable again in the Clark household. I don't really want that. So, John, why don't we start with you? What do you think about this?
So I think it's great, except for the fact that it's almost $20 a month for mostly channels you can get over the air. Like, when you're looking at that thing, since it's only available on the Roku, only those, like, 7 or 8 channels or so, at that point, you'd probably even be better to buy something like a over-the-air, like an antenna, set that up with something like, I can't remember the name of the company, the HD Home Run. It's basically you plug in an antenna to it, and then it lets you broadcast throughout Wi-Fi anything that you can get over the air.
Right.
So at that price point, if it was a $5.99 a month or even a $9.99 a month, I'd be much more interested in it. But just at that almost $20 a month for 10 channels that I'm still probably not going to really watch.
Watch much of. Jameson, what do you
think? Or you can – or – well, I agree. And it's especially like a lot of these things, you can either get them over the air or you can go to their website and watch brand new new content as it's coming out. There's there's nothing stopping you from doing that. So for $20, I guess you get the convenience. But I don't know. To your point about it only being on Roku boxes, I suspect that has to do with the developer platforms, and they're essentially trying it out on Roku boxes. Because if you take a look at – I know with Apple TV, you'd have to pay the developer fee to be able to publish to the App Store. I'm assuming with Microsoft there is one. I'm not sure about Sony, but it's
Android
definitely
TV
going to
would
make
have made
it
sense, though.
Yes, Android TV. But I mean, they're essentially developing an app that can be ported to any Android device at this point. So from that standpoint, I suspect they're trying it out. Whether or not they're actually going to get much buy-in, I don't know. If you've already got an Android box, you probably have it set up so you can just stream anything, at which point $20 a month is, again, way too high for that type of service.
Right, but I just kind of two things. Just first about the Android boxes and the streaming. I've played with that a little bit, and I'm finding more and more you can't get as much as you used to be able to. There's a lot of sites getting shut down and stuff like that. And the second thing is, do you think maybe, as John, you were saying, if they go down to basically the $9.99, you know, the Netflix model, under $10, do you think there's a perceived ceiling for quality there, Jameson?
I think there is a bit. You want to what? No, I don't think there's a perceived issue with quality there. I think the big thing is that you're not getting as large a pool of content as what you would with Netflix. Even in Canada, where there's a diminished pool of content, you are still paying less for more content. Okay. And I think that's the big thing. Ultimately, if you're paying for Netflix or something like Crunchyroll or any of these services that are the sub, for the most part, $10 fee where you're getting a lot of content on demand, it makes it way more worthwhile than an IPTV system where you're only getting a handful of stations, many of which don't necessarily carry a lot of appealing content that you can't find other ways for free.
Right, exactly. John, any final comments on this before we move on?
The big thing, too, with this one, I find, is, like, for example, Allison likes to watch The Amazing Race, and what we do is she opens up The Amazing Race on her Chromebook, clicks the button to share to the Android, like the Plex. We have a NVIDIA Shield TV in our basement, clicks the button to share to that, and then it just shows up at 1080p on the TV.
Right.
Well, like, straight from the website, it's legal. Yep. The ads are awful, but...
Oh, I know.
That's the biggest thing that's slowing down web TV, is that it's just one ad that plays like 34 times over the course of the show.
Yeah. There's not a wide variety that people have bought into.
No.
Exactly. Yeah, I noticed that too, even watching, like, we watch a lot of YouTube stuff using the YouTube app on Apple TV. And yeah, we noticed that quite a bit. There's like a half dozen ads that seems to be, and they only switch out every couple of weeks. Exactly. Now, I know some of them are apparently tailored to what you're watching, but yeah, it gets kind of old kind of quickly. So, okay, well, it's something we're going to have to watch. So we'll keep an eye on it and we'll go forward. Okay, now all those who are waiting, here's the iPhone 7 story. So several iPhone models apparently sold out ahead of launch day. So basically, all the iPhone Plus models are all gone. And apparently, good luck getting anything in that brand new, fancy, shiny, probably easily scratched, just kidding, easily fingerprinted jet black color. So yeah, they're saying they won't be available for walk-in customers. I know myself, I'm planning probably going to be getting a 7 Plus. I've decided to go whole hog, and I like that new camera. We talked about it last week, and I'm kind of a sucker for that, and my place of employment has a nice discount for the regular plans. So but yeah, I could be waiting a few weeks. My wife, she'll probably get her 7 way before and start laughing at me. So yeah, anyone surprised about this? John, I know you weren't on last week. What did you think about the new 7s?
I think the new 7s are great for people that already love Apple products. I think if they're trying to bring over new customers, they're not going to be seen nearly as much, mainly because of the lack of the 3.5-inch headset jack, which right. I still think is just a ridiculous idea, and I think it's actually going to be a problem later on down the road. But they seem like a nice phone. The camera looks amazing on them.
Yeah,
that's I've kind of shifted myself out of the Apple ecosystem, which means I'm not as ravenous to buy the new one and look
what?
At them.
What? What? That's the only reason why we had you on. Click. Just kidding.
No, I'm pretty much just – I wouldn't call myself an Android fanboy by any stretch of the imagination.
You enjoy
just
some of the stuff they do, yeah.
I like the ability to customize things a little bit more than Apple has allowed me to.
Yep.
So that's the sole reason why I'm on Android. I'm there's a few extra things. But that doesn't say anything against the iPhones, too. I think the iPhone's still a great phone for the majority of people.
Right.
I do think there are issues with removing the 3.5-inch jack and replacing it with Lightning is the thing. If it was an entirely different technology, that'd be different. But that's the only holdup I have on it.
I think that's not their end game. I think honestly, their end game is to push everything wireless.
100%. I totally agree with you. But the new wireless chip is a proprietary chip that they're trying to push, which is then it's like great. They're going to advance Bluetooth, but only advance Bluetooth for Apple.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I did find interesting, because you know I originally kind of had my doubts about this, but then I started looking into it more, and you know really the fact that we talked about this last week, John, but the fact that the Apple's actually putting a dongle in is a big thing. But as well, I was looking into it because one of the things I want to do is I want to be able to take this new iPhone and add a set of decent mics if I want to go and interview people for this podcast and other ones.
Yeah.
And there's actually quite a few mics now that are Lightning. That, you know, just like the old ones we used to connect at the end of the iPhones, a lot of them now are Lightning, and I was very surprised about that. So, you know, there's already a lot of things going in that way that doesn't necessarily need the jack. It's going to be, you know, people say, oh, you've got to compare it to when they got rid of the CD drive and the Ethernet port and stuff like that. It'll be interesting to see what happens here. Part of me says, you know, part of me at first said, the way you felt, but the more I'm thinking about it, I don't think it's gonna, you know, people are gonna go, oh, I'm so upset, but then, you know, within a year or two it'll be meh, you know, and people will move on. Mm-hmm. You know, we're basically seeing, according to analyst estimates, they're predicted to sell over 14 million handsets last weekend. So
nobody ever doubts the ability of Apple to make money.
Oh yeah, and nobody
they're gonna make money. They could release a new phone that didn't have a screen, and people would still be like, we didn't actually need a screen.
Yep.
Like,
but somehow people still do. And as I said, as many people know, I was coming into this announcement kind of expecting, okay, I'll see what they have. I'm going to wait for the 6S Plus to go down in price, and then I'll jump all over it. And then they came out with that camera with the anti-stabilization. It was like, ah, oh, damn it.
Yeah, the optical stabilization, I have it in my phone, too. It's a deal-breaker for me now.
Same with my wife. She likes that idea a lot because, you know, she was quite happy with her existing 5 other than the battery was starting to go. But, yeah, she saw that and it's like, yeah. So what do you do? So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I actually haven't seen one in the wild yet. Hopefully a couple of people
have. I have. Not a 6 Plus, not a 7 Plus, but a 7. One of my coworkers reserved it, managed to get one from the Apple Store, bought it out. I mean, it looks nice. It's a nice feeling phone. Mm-hmm. It definitely does feel that little bit thinner.
What about the button?
It's going to be like anything. Other than the camera, there wasn't a whole huge number of surprises. My coworker, he was good.
Did you actually try the front button? It's a haptic screen now.
I did not.
Okay, I was
just, but that being said, I'm on the fence on that one. I think the bigger issue with that is that Apple forgot about the rest of the world other than California, and the fact that there are certain parts of the world that like to keep their fingers not frozen in the wintertime.
Yes.
So that's from an industrial design standpoint, I'm actually really surprised that Apple flubbed on that one a little bit.
Exactly.
Usually they're spot on with that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they correct that in the next TikTok session.
They have to get some more Canadians on the team there. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Be able to remind them. Yeah. Okay. Anything else, John? You got any last words on this one before we move on?
No, nothing too much on the iPhone there.
No, that's good. So I should ask you, what's your main phone now then?
So I'm using a OnePlus 2.
Okay, and what do you think of it?
I really like it. It's a solid phone. It's fast. It's responsive. I haven't had any problems with it. It's about a year old now.
Okay, cool.
So excellent. One day it'll be another upgrade again.
No,
but
like I said, you know, me too. I'm not necessarily an Apple fanboy. I just like the different devices and the way work's going. I might have a second phone for on-call at work, and I'll have my choice. So I'll probably get myself an Android just to play around there. Okay.
Yeah, that was kind of what happened to me. I just bought an Android because I'm like, I want to try some things on it. Yeah. I was like, oh, I like some of these things a little bit better that I can't do.
That's so good. Okay, moving on. Of course, with the opening of sales for the iPhone 7, you know, iFixit's going to get their hands on it, and they did. They bought it out and they tore it down. There's, you know, the show notes we have a complete link. It's kind of neat to see how they, you know, how they can do this. The thing that always amazes me is how much they can stuff in. The miniaturization they actually do is just, you know, it just blows me away every time I see these things. You think you would get used to it, but the way they pack all this stuff in, you know, obviously some people are talking about now what everyone thought was a speaker isn't a speaker. It's actually like a thing to stabilize the atmosphere because there's a barometer inside the phone. So, John, what do you think about some of the things from the iFixit article?
It looks great. Yeah, I expected a ton more glue. I'm surprised they gave it a 7 out of 10 for repairability, given the amount of glue that there was in there. But yeah, it seems like the barometer, I'm interested why the barometer is in there. I wonder if it has something to do with the waterproofing to make sure that it'll notify the phone when it has.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I can answer that one.
Okay.
Because in the past, Apple has said that they use barometric pressure sensors to determine your elevation from the standpoint of stairs and calculating your movement.
Okay.
I believe it was not last year or the year. No, it would have been last year, I think. They were talking about no, it was when the 6 came out. Not the 6S, but when the 6 came out. They were talking about how all these new sensors to detect these things, and they said that they use a barometer to help determine your elevation, so they can tell your if you're running up inclines and things like that for your exercising.
Okay, interesting. But yeah, it's just like I say, I always find it fascinating, and yeah, it looks like in theory one could replace the battery still. You know, unlike the impossibility of the MacBook Air, which of course we didn't get an announcement on, but I've already bitched about that last week. So
we won't get an announcement.
I won't. I know. I'm not going to put Jameson through that again. So that's so all right. Let's move on here. So also on Apple, iOS 10 is officially out. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Jameson, this was your story. I actually haven't upgraded yet. I've got a friend at work. She has. And it does look definitely new and different. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about this?
Well, this weekend, I specifically took the plunge. I backed up both my really ancient iPad, which is an iPad 4, and my 6, my iPhone 6, and upgraded both. Actually, on my iPad, because it's been needing it for a while, I did a flat out reset and update. So it's a completely brand new machine. On my phone, I just did an update, and both went flawlessly. Unlike the issue that they corrected with the distribution, it worked fine. No issues, no qualms. The iPad, despite it being a out of date and old iPad, does run reasonably well. There are the occasional times when a screen will hang switching to something else, but it's not to be expected from, or it's not to be surprised, I should say, from something that's 4 years old.
Which
three,
generation
4 years
is it?
Old. It's the iPad 4. So it was before they switched to the
Air. Before they switched to the Air and the Mini. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's reasonably old, but it works very well, actually. One thing I discovered, though, is that I really do miss the home button on the new home button quite a bit. It's a little weird going back to using an old home button. From the standpoint... Yeah, no fingerprint, all that stuff. I really like the display of the like your apps and all that when it's locked on the iPad. It's actually really nice. On the phone, it feels a little bit, I don't want to say crunched, but it's not quite as nice without the two columns. That being said, like, both work very well, easily customizable, nice to set up. The one grievance I kind of have about the whole update process in general is that for the first time in a long time, I actually had to do a reasonable amount of customization, so probably around the 10 to 20 minute mark, to get the operating system feeling the way I wanted it to. So tweaking settings here and there. Some of the things that by default are behind the passcode or fingerprint on the lock screen, I would like to be, I want to see without having to necessarily authenticate in. So it was kind of interesting that for the first time in a while, it actually felt like there were more settings in there and in a lot of past generations. And so it felt like it actually took a little bit of time to get set up the way I wanted it. But that being said, it also felt more like I could customize things the way I wanted them to be.
Right.
On my phone, it runs blazing fast. No glitches that I've seen at all. It works well. It's once I've got it, now that I've got it customized, it works really nicely. The number of apps that already have widgets available is phenomenal. And the notifications, the new notification windows are great, if a little frustrating sometimes because you expect them to be a little bit more interactive and they're sometimes more just, oh, click to go in.
Okay.
But it's just one of those things to get used to type thing.
Okay. Yeah, no, my friend, she kind of really likes the notify screens, and I have to admit they look good. I'm really not going to get a chance to try it before I get my new phone, so I'll look at it then. John, I don't know if you've known anyone who's tried it yet or anything like
no,
that.
No, actually, we don't even have any in the office at work yet, so
okay.
I haven't
right.
seen any.
You haven't seen any yet. So, no, it'll be
no.
interesting. So Jameson's going to be our guinea pig.
As
we go forward. Okay, we're going to take a yep. quick break here. We're going to listen to Derek's lovely voice in a pre-recorded Olio ad, and we'll be right back.
Do you have an idea for a mobile app, a problem that can be solved with software, two or three pieces of software that need to be integrated in order to speed up your business, or maybe just a website that needs to be freshened up? If so, you can turn to Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and builders of custom web and mobile applications powering some of Canada's largest brands, from Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, to Home Depot, to College Pro, and Ellison Travel and Tours. Olio offers custom web and mobile applications, interface design, e-commerce development, a web platform, and Olio is also a Shopify partner, enabling your business to get the most out of Shopify. For a free consultation on how Olio can help you, call 226-785-0420, email derek@oliodigitallabs.com, or visit oliodigitallabs.com/contact.html and fill out the form to tell them about your project. That's OLIO.
And we're back from the lovely voice of Derek, pitching Olio. Great organization. What more can we say? We'll wait for Derek when he comes back next week. Okay, moving on. Adblock Plus. I used to love this particular app because they were really good for blocking the intrusive ads. Not only intrusive ads, but ads that had various spyware and crap like that, because the ad networks weren't keeping track of who they were letting on. Now, however, this is kind of a little bit of a red herring, because they've been having acceptable ads for a while, but they've kind of kicked it up a notch here. And so they're launching their own ad network now. So this is an ad blocker. So let's hope you're all following along. This is an ad blocking company, right? And they're launching their own ad network now called the Acceptable Ads Platform. Has your head exploded yet, anyone? It's kind of, as they're saying, it doesn't really karma with their original form. Now, I'm sure we know why they're doing it. They got to make money, and they got to keep these servers up and stuff like that. And, there is a one click buried in the options that you can opt out of this. But, man, there is a lot of people really upset about this. And I mean really. And apparently there's some other competitors that are picking up the slack from this. Jameson, what do you think?
This one's a tricky subject. Full disclosure, I work at a digital advertising agency. So it's a catch-22. I don't like being inundated with advertising. I would prefer to not experience a lot of advertising in there at all. But at the same time, advertising pays my livelihood. So it's something that we've talked a fair amount about at work. And it's one of those things where ultimately the discussion comes back to the point where if advertising is done well, you don't know that you're necessarily being advertised to, or at least you're not being bludgeoned over the head with it.
Right.
And that's the big problem with a lot of websites these days, or YouTube, or all these different things. You're continually being bludgeoned over the head by a massive amount of advertising, which does no one any good because everyone just tunes it out or installs an ad blocker. Now, I do find it, as much as I understand the Adblock needs to make money to keep the servers running, to turn on the lights, I find it a bit hypocritical. I find it really, really frustrating and hypocritical of a company that's designed itself to do exactly what it's now saying it's not going to. I think there are better ways to do this. If your issue is that not as many people are buying the plus version of it, reduce your price. Find a better sweet spot that gets more people on board, that increases the usage of the plus service. Don't go through and install ads. Or if you are going to run your own ad network, treat it like the Canadian anti-spam legislation. Make it an opt-in instead of an opt-out. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and bludgeon the person over the head 3 or 4 or 5 times. Hey, would you be interested in our ad network? Here's an example. 2 weeks later, hey, we're still wondering if you're interested. If that doesn't work, move on. Don't make it an opt-out system.
Mm-hmm. Okay. John, your comments?
I think the whole thing's just stupid, to be honest. Okay, first of all, Adblock to begin with, I've always had a little bit of an issue with. I worked for the Next Web for a short time there, for a year or so.
Yep.
I made all of my money through advertising, so ad blocking literally meant make less money. So it's full stop there, so I don't use Adblock myself.
Yep.
Also, the only reason I would use Adblock is because there's so many crappy ads out there that are all of a sudden you'll be scrolling down a page and you're bummed because some music started playing and everything got bad.
Yep.
And so Adblock comes in. It's we'll get rid of that. It's great idea. So you can whitelist things. And now they're just kidding. We're going to have our own ads. Yep. So they're just going to go throw them in. And who are they to say what's going to be a quality ad and not a quality ad? I'm sorry, but if you offer them $20 billion to put your ad in as a quality ad, they're probably going to take it, and it's probably going to be a garbage ad. Mm-hmm. So I don't I don't trust Adblock to be the forebearers of good advertising.
Right.
Because they've never actually shown that they are reliable. Like, remember when the Adblock Plus was like, oh, and we're adding a whitelist by default. And everyone's like, wait, what? And then they're like, and if you want to be on this whitelist, just give us money.
Yep, exactly.
So Adblock is not the altruistic champion that we would want of getting better ads, I would say. Mm-hmm. I guess they're kind of like Batman. They're the ad network we deserve, not the one we need.
That's good. I like that.
But, yeah, I don't know. I saw that. I read that. I'm like, well, that's just stupid. But
no, exactly.
It is what it is. I'll still not – I'm not going to pay for it. I'm not going to pay for them to send me ads. Because isn't Adblock Plus is a paid subscription, is it not?
No,
or is that
– No, you can donate.
They ask for donates for you to be able to
donates. Yeah.
So they're asking for donations for them to be able to sell you.
And then they pull this stuff. Yeah, I know. And that's the thing with me. And I can understand why, like, you know, you were saying, you know, for a lot of people, advertising is the livelihood and stuff like that. But one of the reasons I do is, yeah, not only for the annoying stuff, but, you know, they had a case where Fortune magazine started blocking people who had ad blockers. They said, turn on, whitelist our site, and we'll let you on. As soon as people did that, because of the ad network they were with, some people got viruses, got infected, dried by downloads. That's one of the reasons I do. Now, for now, because I didn't know there was some other good quality alternatives, because I do whitelist, I will whitelist sites I support and that I'm fairly certain, you know, you can never be 100%, but they're careful on what they throw on their ad networks. So I'm actually trying, what am I trying? uBlock Origin. Apparently,
yeah, that's what most people.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it, so I've tried it, and it's working quite well for me on Chrome. So, yeah, we're going to see what happens there. So, okay.
Moral of the story is you need to stop going to such shady websites.
And that, too.
Shady websites? Never, never, never. It's only Blacklight Media and Big Viking Games I go to. Yeah. Wait.
I don't think we have ads on our site even. We look.
I don't know.
I haven't been on our site.
Careful,
you. Time.
What? You're not supposed to admit that. You're supposed to be on every.
There's no
day.
Reason to go on the site. The games aren't there.
That's true. It's all mobile.
This is all just if you want a job, go here.
Yeah.
Amazon. So there are no ads.
No ads. There you go. Or he has an ad blocker running, Jameson. He's lying to us.
Yeah, man.
I'm just saying. Okay. Speaking of the $9 challenge, Amazon and Pandora to launch new music streaming service. So again, this seems to be a classic thing where a lot of these players charge $10 a month. There's a lot of heavy rumors that both companies are going to charge as little as $5 a month. Now again, will this come to Canada? Maybe not. Probably not.
Probably not.
We'll see. It's all rights things, but what do you think? Do you think, you know, to be honest, I've never been one for music streaming. I have enough of my own collection and enough off the various radio apps and stuff like that that I don't really see the point. But I know a lot of people do, Spotify, Apple Music, stuff like that. What do you think? If this came to Canada or if it's released wherever, do you think it's going to be viable?
100%.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think 100%. If you came out with a streaming media service, like I pay for Spotify right now. I've tried everything. I used to have Pandora back when it was available in Canada, and I absolutely loved it. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And then CRTC said, no, you can't have nice things.
No!
And they took it away from us. Yeah. So that I was bitter with, and I was like, oh, whatever. So then I just used iTunes to buy albums. But I'm like, full albums are expensive for the most part now. They've upped the price, so it's usually $15-$20 for an album. Yeah. And I'm like, sometimes I didn't really listen to it as much as I thought I would. Mm-hmm. So now
there are some artists that it's worth it, though.
There are some that are totally worth it, and I'll still buy those albums. A lot of it, though, like, I'll listen to game soundtracks when I'm at work all day. And I don't really want to – you can't buy them, like, unless you buy the collector's edition of the game. And I'm like, well, I don't want to drop an extra $80 on the game just to get a soundtrack. Doesn't seem worth it. But on Spotify, they've got pretty much all of them. So I stream that all the time. But $10 a month, I still question. I'm like, am I getting the value? Do I get the same value out of this as I do out of Netflix?
Right.
And some months I'm like, yes, I do. Some months I'm like, yes, I no, I'm not. But $5 a month, like, think about it, like two cups of coffee, and you've already paid for your thing. So I think if it did come to Canada, I think people would jump on that in a heartbeat. Even if it was up to $8, if it undercut Spotify and Apple Music and Google Play Music a little bit, people would jump on it. The problem is Pandora will most likely never come to Canada, and Amazon hates Canada. So
They hate Canada, do they?
I firmly believe Amazon actively dislikes Canada.
This sounds like a whole episode we could spend on this.
Yeah.
One to one. Why Amazon hates Canada.
I have firm beliefs about this.
Pylon's theory. A mystery in four parts. All right, I'll get the studio book for that. Jameson, your comments.
If it comes to Canada, it will definitely be viable. I currently pay for Apple Music. I did pay for Spotify. I completely think that I get the full value for it, especially I pay $14 a month for the family plan. But it means that Nadia can stream and have access to whatever she wants to through Rowan. And you know what? I'm perfectly happy paying $10 a month. I actually think that that's a good mark, especially the amount of content that you will typically listen to in a day, and knowing the absolutely ludicrously small cuts that artists are getting. Mm-hmm. I would actually be happy paying a little bit more if it meant that artists were making more. I would rather see. I doubt Apple would ever take less of the cut, but the recording studios take less of a cut. I will happily pay for music because it means that I'm supporting artists. Just like I will happily buy television or buy DVDs or things like that, because it supports the studio, but it also does help support artistic individuals, be it writers, directors, producers, actors, musicians, etc. I think as much as Five is trying to say, hey, we're cheaper than everyone else, you should come listen to us, I don't see it being viable for the music industry in the long run. Uh-huh. And I think that's the big thing. Like you said, John, iTunes, et cetera, they're charging more for albums, which is good for artists who have quality content, for people who are buying it, because it does help support them more. It helps make their artistry more viable. And as someone who did a Bachelor of Musical Arts, it's one of the things where there can be very little support sometimes for artists. It can be very difficult to get into the industry. And so, as much as I understand wanting to lure more people with paying less, it's just going to dilute the small amount of money that's out there even further and make it harder for people to make a living doing artistic endeavors.
Right. And I think I just take what John was saying too. It's the price of a couple of cups of coffee, and I think the public has to realize, like, even $10 a month, it's a couple of coffees at Starbucks, really. And mm-hmm. for the value you get. I read an article, and I wish I could remember the link for it now, but it was an author basically saying similar things, like, we can give away free ebooks till the cow comes home, but there doesn't seem to want to be the value for people to pay $5 for an ebook. Where mm-hmm. You compare to what traditional stuff is. And I think that's going to be a tough thing now. Granted, some people can't afford it. Times are tough and stuff like that. But yeah,
there are people who can't afford it, Spotify does offer a free plan. You have to listen to ads, and you don't have as many, you can't skip songs as frequently and stuff like that. But you can listen to music for free. You can do the
I
same
do have
on
to
YouTube.
Say with that, though. That I was on the Spotify free plan for quite some time, and they pretty much bully you into paying for it because the ads are so obnoxiously bad that you cannot handle it. Like, you're sitting there listening to, like I would listen to an epic score from a video game, like, da 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 da, and all of a sudden, Trojan Condom just comes screaming across the office. Everybody looks up and is like, what's going on?
Another reason they don't go into your office, John.
Yeah, it's just screaming, and they're like 10 times louder than the music you're listening to. So if you have headphones on, you scared the crap out of you. So I have to pay for this. I can't do it for free anymore because my heart won't take it.
But if it is someone, if it's the difference between a meal and being able to listen to music,
true.
Listen, like it.
People are more likely going to steal it, to be honest.
Yeah,
true.
That's,
but
the thing. And this is where I'm saying we've got to change the conversation.
The one thing, the one on that argument though, the one thing I do like about Spotify and their advertising is, as much as they are bullying you into that, they are at least recouping some of the money for the artist to provide a free service, which I think is a better model than trying to promote people stealing it. In the long run, at least, I think people will put up with ads, like they'll put up with ads in their websites, as long as the perceived value they're getting out of it is worth it.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Okay, our last story of the day. This is a just in. John, you actually found this. Some announcement from Google about phones.
Yeah, it looks like on October 4th is going to be the big announcement for the new Google. They're not doing Nexus phones anymore, it seems. Right. So they're calling this one the Pixel, which is interesting because the Pixel was also their Chromebook that they came out with. So that's going to get using really easily.
Yeah.
So it looks like they're coming out with a Pixel and a Pixel XL October 4th. So that'll be interesting. The Nexus phones are usually really nice, nice and clean, nice and basic.
I know some people that have them. They like them. Sorry, go ahead, James.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, though, didn't Google say that they were no longer going to produce Nexus ones, and more importantly, they were no longer going to produce ones of that spec? So do you think that the Pixel is going to be like the Nexus, where it's like the Apple hardware, where they control the hardware and the software, and so therefore you can just keep installing things? Or is it going to be more like traditional Android phones, where unless you are extremely confident or the hardware company is fairly magnanimous, you have to install their version of it?
I imagine it'll be similar to the original Nexus phones, where it's just a version, it's just the core version of Android. A lot of phone manufacturers actually add just the core version now, or you can just load it on with your own theme. Right. You don't have to use like Samsung, whatever, it's TouchWiz or whatever they call it. You don't have to really use them anymore. So I imagine this is just going to be another clean, fully baked phone.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I know Derek will probably, you know, he's got new phones, but he's a big Android guy. And again, I like Google for a lot of the stuff they do. So, yeah, now this is a expected price tag of $650 US, no indication yet of Canadian. So the way our dollar's going, that'll be about 1600 Canadian, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right, doesn't it? Okay, moving on to stuff we like. I have nothing I like this week. I'm being a miserable sod. It's just been a busy week. So, Jameson, I know. So, Jameson, you got something here, Sleep Cycle. Are you sleeping at work again?
I wish some days. I don't have the time to do that work. And to be perfectly fair, tonight will be the second night trying this out. But I was playing around with some of the new features in the health app in iOS 10. Okay. And they now, in each of the categories, they have a thing down the bottom saying recommended apps, basically the highest rated apps. For that category, so sleep or fitness or eating, like food, nutritional information, etc. And so I went through the top five that they put there. A couple of them, all of them required hardware, with the exception of this one. Mm-hmm. And so I'm on the fence. We'll see. I'm gonna give it, they say it takes 15 days to calibrate the application to get used to your sleeping patterns, or at least what you sound like in your sleep.
I don't know how it's going to work for me, because you know, apparently my wife says I snore.
Well, hey, who knows, maybe it'll help you with that. But it was interesting this morning. I didn't need my usual six alarms to wake up. It went off.
And on a Monday,
of all things, and after being up for an extra 3 hours at night because my daughter wouldn't sleep, it woke me up with one alarm.
There's hope.
It's also got a really interesting feature where, rather than, because you have to put it face down, because the screen stays on, not super thrilled about that.
Right.
Or at least it's to stay in an active state.
Yeah, I think it stays on.
Yeah. Not really a fan of that, but we'll try it out. Anyways, it does allow one nice feature, which is you can tap the nightstand or your phone twice, and it will auto-snooze. So it uses the gyroscope to detect that, which is kind of cool. Anyways, we'll try. I'm going to try it out. Yeah, I'll give a report at some point in the future.
Yeah, that could be neat, because I have that problem sometime, too. And I hate the ones that you have to put it on the bed, because guarantee, I've tried it a couple times. By the morning, the phone's off the bed.
Either by
me or one of the cats going, ooh, what's this?
Yep. Whereas this, it can just sit on your nightstand where it's going to sit anyways.
Exactly.
And maybe it helps.
Right. Okay, moving on. Stuff we like. Yeah, John, you are still a gamer. You work for a gaming company. So, a.k.a. my second job, I like this. World of Warcraft.
Yeah, so World of Warcraft came out with the new expansion, and that's basically my new job doing that.
after being a good father and husband, right?
Exactly. So there we go. Actually, our routine is I play at lunch at work because everybody plays at work. Okay. So everybody plays together at lunch and then come home. Ian's awake from 6 or until 7, so hang out with Ian for a while. At 7 till about 9 o'clock, Allison's awake. We watch a show, we hang out, do things like that. And then 9 o'clock, I start my other job of grinding characters in World of Warcraft. The reason why I bring it up, though, is the expansion is probably the most fun I've had in the game since it first came out when I was in university, which is really interesting because it's been... Like, I've played on and off for the past 11 years it is now.
Right. So people who liked Burning Crusade and Wrath of the Lich King will actually want to come back and play.
I love this one. Yes.
See, I'm a Guild Wars guy, so I'm just going to nod.
I have not played it yet, but it's really been calling me hard.
It's really fun again. And, like, there's so many new features and stuff that you can do. Like, I don't actually pay for the monthly subscription anymore. I just grind gold and use that to pay for it. So you can use like in-game currency to buy game time, which is really nice. There's so many things to do. It doesn't feel old at all. It feels very fresh, but still kind of nostalgic at the same time. Like remembering the times where you spent 16 hours doing a PvP battle in Alturk Valley and all those fun things that you can do when you're in university.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen anymore.
No, that doesn't happen.
But no, it's been really fun. And if anybody had played World of Warcraft and gave it up, just give it a shot again. Try it. It's insanely fun.
Cool.
And it is nice that you don't have to pay. By the way, how much is that now?
The subscription is $15.
No. In gold.
Oh, it's 33,000 gold, which isn't too hard because there's a lot of ways to make gold. So you can usually within a month of playing, if you're not spending gold on like buying new mounts or fun things in the game, you can easily get it done.
Okay, so it's a lot like EVE Online. You can pay.
Yes.
You can. Okay.
Exactly like
that.
EVE Online.
I didn't know that. That's
newer.
Yeah, it's all the things I always liked about Guild Wars is that you just pay the one rate, and then if you
exactly
take a break for 6 months, like I have before.
I love Guild Wars too.
And then you're back to it. Yeah, I've been playing the expansion. I recently bought that. So yeah, exactly. Okay, fun stuff. All right, moving on to what are we up to lately? Well, it's September again. So library season, as we call it, reconvenes. There's a lot of big stuff coming there. A lot of renovations happening at the Central Branch. There's broken ground on where your wife's on the branch where your wife should probably be when she gets back from mat leave, John, on the new Westmount branch. They broke ground there. So yeah, all sorts of stuff there. Trying to get some more unpacking done and still learning a lot with work. Jameson, what have you been playing around with?
I have been playing around with Laravel quite a bit. For those that don't know, I'm a web developer by trade, finally had the chance on a couple of projects to play around with Laravel. Absolutely loving it. It's stupidly easy to do some very complicated things, and it makes back-end programming kind of fun again and not feel like I'm drudging myself through hell.
We had developers. We had a whole team at our traction that just used that, and they loved it. So, yeah, I gathered it was quite good. Isn't there a users group in town, too, or... I'm trying to remember if there was or not.
There's a PHP group here in town, inevitably talk about Laravel. It's quite fun. Some exciting projects at work that I unfortunately can't talk about.
That's all right.
It's nice to to do some heavy lifting without it feeling super heavy.
Right. You gotta do stuff that's fun. Okay, John, yep. what have you been up to lately?
So actually there's something kind of new is I had been streaming on Twitch now for a couple of years, mm-hmm. I think.
I've seen that.
Yeah, so I've been using Twitch quite a bit, but then recently I've been having just a ton of weird little issues with Twitch where it's just like, hey, yeah, you don't get any frames per second anymore, or it's going to buffer like crazy all the time. And there's other issues with Twitch, like the kind of the community with Twitch doesn't really jive with the kind of community that I play games with. It's a little bit more immature, to be honest. And so I decided to check out the YouTube gaming system, and I'm absolutely loving it. I'm a partner with them now. I stream pretty regularly, except for the past couple of nights. I haven't really, but I usually try to do at least 2 to 3 times a week streaming Heroes of the Storm or some World of Warcraft or other fun games like that. It's a great platform, and it's very friendly to people that aren't partners with them. Mm-hmm. Whereas Twitch is almost aggressive against the non-partner users. It's like, well, if you don't get 300 viewers like concurrently at any given time, you're not going to get any of the features that make Twitch really great. Whereas YouTube is like, nah, just stream whatever you want. They can give you as much quality as you want, and it's really great. The other thing I just wanted to plug quick is I'm on the board member for Extra Life. If you don't know what Extra Life is, it's a organization that basically play games and heal kids is their motto. Mm-hmm. So every November they have a 24-hour game day tournament. Or not tournament, event, where people are encouraged to stream, play, do whatever kind of gaming things they want to do for 24 hours straight and help raise money for their local children hospitals. So
that's awesome.
Check out extralife.org if you want to know more.
I've seen that before.
And Pylon and I are we're hopefully cooking up something extra
hopefully
special
cooking
for
up
that.
Something special for that,
okay,
which will be great.
I want the announcement here.
We can't announce anything yet because we don't know space requirements,
well,
but
I'm
we
just
will.
Saying, if you do, I want an exclusive. That's all I'm
saying. I suppose.
So, that's
I
pretty
suppose.
Easy, yeah. there's not too many else clamoring for exclusives.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, you know, the bar has been been lowered a lot. Just kidding. Okay, well, John, we'd like to thank you again for joining us. It's always a pleasure. You're welcome back anytime.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great. No, always good to get your viewpoint, even if you're not using an iPhone anymore. I'll forget. Just kidding. Okay, so as usual, we tell people, view us on iTunes, Google Play, wherever else you get your podcasts, retweet us. We're even on Facebook. And if you have any suggestions, send us an email at contact@canadiantechpodcast.com. So for episode 87 for Monday, September 19th, 2016, my name is Stuart Clark.
I'm Jameson Roberts.
And I'm John Pylon.
Thank you and be well.